everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today I'm super excited because we're doing the next one in our relationship series. So we're talking today to a generator and a manifesting generator in a relationship. So Helen and Tim, welcome.
Hi. Hey, Emma. So good to be here.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. But before we jump in, can you just individually just tell everyone a little bit about yourselves? Just if you could give everyone also type, authority and profile, that would be super cool as well. And yeah, a little bit about what you do and a little bit about yourselves. Helen, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I'm a manifesting generator, and I have a 6-2 profile, and I also have an emotional solar plexus. And it's been super interesting diving into this world of human design and the way we're built energetically, and it's given me so many answers to the way I am and have been acting my whole life. And, you know, some things that I felt guilty over that I had no need to at all. So career-wise, me and him, we've been building our own business for the past 10 years. And right now I am kind of diving into a lot of painting and creative stuff, which is just giving me so much joy and, giving me so much more light as well. So yeah, just letting myself explore.
Yeah. I love it. So good. Tim, over to you.
Hey everybody. So I am a generator. So if I say anything wrong, she's more of the human design expertise. I'm a generator, 2-4 with a sacral authority.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to double check that. And prior to us building our business together, I was in the consulting business for probably about 9 years, and then kind of stepped away. And then I met her, and then we got together and then built a business together from there. We have 2 kids, 6 and 3, almost 7 and 4. And the past, I would say, 8 years has been kind of a journey. And I think we'll dive into that a little bit more. So, because we've been working with you a little bit.
Yeah. And I think it's also fun to mention, you know, we both come from the world of Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And just over the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, we've almost spent over $100,000 on personal coaching and all of that. And I would say human design has given me personally, I can't speak for Tim, just so many answers that just go so deep into the foundation of who I am. Mm-hmm. And lets me kind of help myself find my own answers versus looking outside of myself, which I find so exciting. And I love that about human design.
I love that. And I love that you said that, because I'm the same. I was working it out once for a webinar, like working out how much I'd invested in my own personal development. And it's way over 100K. Like, yeah, there's been a lot invested. And I've had the exact same experience, that it's the human design that just takes you that so much deeper and connects you to your own answers, your own truth. But in the same breath, I think there's a lot to say for all the other coaching modalities out there, because we do need to master the supercomputer between our ears as well. But I love that. So let's dive in. I love both of you have already sort of alluded to the journey of your relationship. So do you want to, and I don't mind who takes this, but do you want to talk a little bit about the dynamics of your relationship and potentially how it's grown over these last 8 years that you referred to? I mean, one thing that I love straight away is we've got 2 generator types, so an MG and a generator in a relationship, and you've built a business together. So like straight away, we're seeing just at a high level how the two types can work so beautifully together. But do you want to talk a little bit to your relationship and potentially how it's, talk a little bit to that for us?
You want to take this?
Well, so one of the things that we worked on was I speak less and then she speaks more, because the way that we vibe, I tend to say the things that she thinks. And so that's kind of why it was kind of like the awkward silence of like, who wants to take it first? So I think we've been working on trying to get her to say the things that you want to say first.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can I just jump in for all the listeners out there? Can I just jump in? Because what I love about this is straight away we're looking at the design. Tim has an undefined throat. And Helen has a defined throat. So Tim literally can feel what Helen is not saying. And again, you know, this is this beautiful how human design sets us free, isn't it? Because as women, we've been taught to stay quiet. And as men, you've been taught to speak up. But your designs are actually the other way around. So I think that's really cool. Helen?
It's really uncanny, Emma, because ever since you pointed that out to us when we did our couples session, we've been noticing it so often. Like, we'd be in a restaurant, I'd be looking at two items that I think, you know, I want to order, and it's stuff that he would never order. And then suddenly he blurts out this. And that was exactly what I wanted to order. And, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? And this is the thing, you know, like, and for many years, you may have had a preconceived idea that you are the quieter one, or you're like, oh no, Tim's the one that speaks up. Tim's the one that needs to do all the talking, but potentially there's just a whole bunch of conditioning going on. Does that resonate?
Yes, because ever since I met him, I've always thought he should be the person out in front doing all the talking. He's, you know, the one that I thought had all the charisma. He's a natural salesperson and his chart reflects that totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've always wanted him to be the spokesperson, to be the one who has all the attention. And I really prodded him in that direction when we were building our business together too. And he would always come back to me and say, no, I don't want to be the front person, but I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, why not? Like, you're yeah. so cosmetic.
I was telling the truth.
Yeah, you were totally telling the truth the whole time. And the thing that I love, like, Helen, even you use the word, like, he had the charisma, you have the 3420 channel, you know, like, Tim's a 2-4, so he wants to run screaming from people half the time. He wants to be left alone and not necessarily be out at the front. But yet you're seeing so much of your design reflected back in his undefined centers or where he's open. And I think that's what's really powerful, you know, that when we start to look at our connection charts and how we work together, we can really see not only our superpowers, but our conditioning, you know, like you say, like, you're constantly pushing him out the front and he's just like, no, I'm good. I'm sweet where I am. I'm all good. And you're right. I love the other thing that you said, that Tim does have the 4426. So born salesman has that real, that energy. So being able to allow him to expand into that energy is great, but you actually stepping into that 3420 and that defined throat is so important.
And it feels really good too, especially now that he, you know, he knows I need a little bit of help. So we've been, you know, like, putting into practice him waiting a little bit, give me, you know, a moment to think and speak. And it feels really good to have that chance to talk.
Yeah.
Before, it was just way too easy to kind of slide into the back seat and just let him take control of the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, you know, because again, so conditioned, especially women, to do exactly that. But you said something that makes me want to go down a rabbit hole, and that is, let's talk about your authorities, because Tim has a sacral authority, which means he's in the moment, yes, no, and you've got emotional authority. So you also, you know, again, we all have masculine and feminine energy within us, but every individual is going to be more aligned, or there's going to be one of those energies that's more prominent. And we're going to say within this relationship, Tim is more masculine and Helen is more feminine. But the reason why I bring this up is I just want to talk about the, you know, these authorities. So we have the masculine that is yes, no, fast, quick, moving. And then we have the feminine, which is slower and more over time, and it doesn't have quite as much, you know, almost clarity. So I think that this is really interesting dynamic, because not only do all relationships have to understand the masculine and the feminine, and the highest desire of the masculine is to be appreciated, the highest desire of the feminine is to be understood, which is why we find couples having that problem with, well, she has a problem and he tries to fix it, and all she wants is him to listen, and he's just like, can't we just fix it and move on? And so there's all these dynamics going on. And then with this particular configuration, we're talking about a pure sacral, which is yes, no, in the moment, versus an emotional authority, which is over time. So since you guys have learned that about you and your own decision-making, what specifically has shifted in the way you make decisions as a couple?
Well, I think the language has changed. I feel like being given a whole new set of language to communicate that and to ask questions. Before, I would ask him if he was indecisive about something. I would ask him, how do you feel about, you know, A solution or B solution? And would you feel clarity when I asked you that? No.
But as soon as question.
Yeah. As soon as I became specific, like, is your sacral saying yes to, I don't know, sushi if we're ordering something, or do you want ramen? Yeah. It would be a yes, no. And I feel like he would have a quicker answer.
Millions of marriages could have been saved.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I so agree.
Yeah. And before, I think, you know, we would delegate, you know, things that we need to do between us. And, you know, I would have a certain list of things that I need to get done, and I know they need to get done, but I've always kind of did them on my own time. And before I knew about the emotional solar plexus, I couldn't figure out why. Like, I just didn't want to do certain things right now. Mm. And I wouldn't inform him. I wouldn't tell him that. I would just, I think, you know, I'll get it done eventually when the timing's right.
Yeah.
But he was super frustrated because he's thinking, oh, she must have forgotten about it, or, you know, why isn't she bringing it back up? I'm waiting for her to do that. But now, like, I'm able to let him know and know for myself, oh, it's because of my emotional soul plexus. I'm waiting for, you know, the ka-ching to happen when the universe is talking. This is the right time, and I'm waiting for that signal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. If I can jump into it, the sacral authority was, I think the biggest word, two words that you helped us out with was inform. Like, she informs me about what's happening, so that way I don't have to be like, is she still on it? And I think the second word was pacing. So you said that sacral authorities like to go, and that's exactly how I am. I'm kind of with the moment right now, and so when I can't get something off my plate, or we can't get something off our plate together, I do get frustrated. And so the fact that she is informing, and then I'm also pacing, maybe she does need an extra week or whatever it is, right?
Sometimes months.
I mean, like, one of the big examples that we had just recently is that we have a water softener. So where we live in Texas, in the United States, they have, like, very hard water, like all the minerals. And so if you don't soften your water, it can actually ruin some of your appliances. And so we had a guy come out, he did his whole spiel, his presentation. And so I knew that she was going to look to me to make this decision. So literally, like, right before he asked for the closing, I just left. I'm like, you make the decision. And then so I come back, and then she was like, hey, I'm going to sit on it. And so I was like, oh, there it is. There's her emotional authority, where she's going to let it feel it out. And for me, it was a growth moment, because I was pacing, because we both know we're going to get it. It's just a matter of, like, when and is it right for her?
Well, before I knew about human design, I would have just jumped into it.
Yeah.
I would have been pressured to jump into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I was going to say exactly the same thing. The thing that's different, and I love what you said, Tim, how you just walked away and said, you make the decision. So, like, taking the pressure off, like, whatevs, like, and no decision is also a decision. That's fine. And I think that's a really big piece that's so important within relationships, where, Tim, you know that you are working in the moment, you're responding, you have this clarity, but you also understand and can hold space for the fact that Helen doesn't feel that way, that you can just give her the space, and how, you know, removing that pressure to make a decision is fundamental. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So there's definitely differences in how we're kind of allowing ourselves to behave.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So I wanted to talk next about a little bit about informing, and you sort of touched on it already, Tim, but how specifically is your relationship improved just by informing each other? Helen, do you want to have a go?
I would be the first to admit that I was terrible at informing, just terrible, awful. Like, I feel like someone...
Just like most MGs. Yeah, most MGs feel the same way. I get it.
I remember feeling that way even as a child, like, you know, not wanting to tell my parents about something because I think I wouldn't be allowed to do it, or, you know. So I think that carried on with me as an adult, and I would keep a lot of stuff to myself and just not inform. And I do that to everyone, you know, it's just something that I do. But now I'm recognizing, oh, I'm learning that if I do inform, the energy is going to flow better. So I force myself to do it.
Yeah.
And I think he appreciates that. And I don't know. I'm just making a practice of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And beautiful.
And intentional about it.
Yeah. I love that. And how does it feel now that she is informing you more, Tim? I know you've spoken to this a little bit, but how specifically has it improved the relationship?
I mean, for me, it's not thinking if she's still thinking about it. That makes sense. And then also it's also about, you can see like the more there's an alignment on her side. Because I think where the disconnect would have been is that she thinks either of me or my parents or her parents or whatever, like she would want to do something and then she would omit certain information because she would think that we would react a certain way. And then I would tell her, like, from time to time, like I would give her examples that every single time that she's informed us, I don't think anybody's ever shown resistance towards what she wanted to do. Actually, it would be the complete opposite. It's actually we were more supportive, that at least now clarity there. And then she's like, oh, okay, I get it. And so I think the informing has definitely helped with the dynamic and the energy flow, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? I just keep thinking, like, having you two, and I love that in the beginning, Tim goes, you know, Helen's actually the expert here with the human design. But what I love is how both of you understanding your design, and I love, let's just say, like, Tim's just practicing the type authority profile, like just being aware of that, and then being aware of, you know, how Helen's profile and authority and that sort of thing works, like how fundamental this is to helping all relationships be so much more powerful. And I love that Tim's there actually viewing, because I have the same experience with Justin, that sometimes I'm so in the experience that I don't see the experience, whereas Justin will just reflect back. Like Tim just has, look at each time you inform the specific differences, and the differences are that people actually go with you as opposed to resist you. And I love seeing that dynamic within a relationship, because, you know, not only are you two giving each other permission to be who you are, instead of assuming, because that's another thing we do in relationships. We have expectations and assumptions, and they're really dangerous for relationships. But just being able to see you to hold space for what's your true energy is just fantastic. I love that. And I really love how you can see that counterintuitive. That's what we always talk about with informing. It's so counterintuitive. The more we inform, the more alignment, but the more people go with us. So I love that you've got these really tangible experiences of that. Is there anything else you two want to add on that before we move on?
I think it's just nice to see each other for how we're designed. And I feel like, at least I feel I have more understanding of who Tim is and more acceptance. And hopefully he feels that way too.
Yeah. I love that. Brilliant. So I want to talk about, first, I want to talk about, have you changed the way you ask each other questions to create decisions? And the reason why I want to ask that question is, both being sacral types, we know that if we ask big open-ended questions, often a sacral type can literally be like, oh, I don't know. I really don't know. So one of the first things that whenever there's a generator in a relationship, But with both of you being generator types, what I think is really cool is like you can both be asking more specific chunk down yes, no questions to get you where you want to go. So do you want to talk a little bit to that experience? Like knowing just that, that be more specific, be focused on yes, no questions. Has that helped you communicate and understand each other better?
It makes decision-making a lot easier for sure. Like knowing that I would get better answers when I ask him yes, no questions and him doing the same for me. I mean, I know I come up with answers a lot easier when I'm being asked yes, no questions.
Yeah.
I almost feel like telling everyone that I'm talking to, can you just ask me a yes, no question? Because everyone's so conditioned to ask questions about how do you feel about this or how do you feel about that? And sometimes I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. I totally resonate with that. Yeah. Tim?
I actually find it a lot more difficult to ask her the yes, no questions. I think she's a lot more supportive the other way around, only because I feel like, you know, in sales, there's a lot of training when it comes to asking open-ended questions because then you can collect more information. So it actually, in a marriage, I feel like I have to retrain my brain to ask her more of a yes, no. And I don't think I'm as supportive in that respect as she is with
but
me.
I do remind him, though.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, ask me in a different way. Ask me a yes, no question.
Yeah. And I totally resonate with that. Yeah, sorry, keep going.
And, you know, sometimes I would ask him to, you know, just give me time to think about it. Just say, give me a day or two.
Yeah, I love that. And I've definitely found that as well. And I was going to go into, you know, one of the things for me personally, again, I'm defined in the solar plexus. So it's also, you know, asking questions in that timely manner, like being okay, as we've discussed. But what I'm super curious about is within the relationship, understanding your defined solar plexus and your emotional wave. So I don't know if you two have had the, I know we've sort of talked about it in our session together, but just to remind, or at least we'll just share with everyone, you've got the 40-37 and the 6-59, Helen, which means that you do have one of the emotional waves that is pretty mild. That's the 6-59, but the 37-40 is what we call the ratchet. Like it's one that can be, you know, depending on if you're sleeping enough, eating well, you've just been working hard, it can be the one that is quite, you know, up and down and can be explosive. I know it was a massive game changer learning this for me personally, because I learned to take a lot more responsibility for my emotions and the stories I told myself when I was in my emotional lows. But how is starting to understand that emotional wave within the relationship, how has that helped the relationship? Because I know for us, or for me specifically, like my whole family just, if I'm in a grump, they're literally like, oh, mum, you're in a low. Do you need a hug? Do you need whatever? As opposed to, Jesus, mum's being a right bitch. You know, like there's just a completely different, you know, manner. And yes, I'm taking more responsibility, but there's also, because everyone gets it, there's a different way that everyone approaches that emotional low. So do you have an experience like that, or do you want to talk to that a little bit?
I love that your family knows that about you. I feel like I should tell my kids when they're a little older, because I don't know if they're old enough to understand that. But I think I recognize it now when I am in my lows. And I know I get that way, especially when I'm tired and I don't have enough sleep. That's when I get really cranky. But I think I found outlets for myself, like journaling, letting me see and acknowledge those feelings, I think was a real big one for me, instead of suppressing them and feeling like I shouldn't be feeling that way. First of all, that was really helpful. And then sometimes, you know, he would ask me something and I would reply in a way that would make him say like, oh, like what's going on? Like, do you not feel good about this decision that I'm making? And I would tell him, no, I'm just in an emotional slump. Like, just don't take what I'm saying seriously right now.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's, I love that. Yeah, I love that. And I want to ask, actually, because I've had this big awareness because I've done a lot of the Tony Robbins training. I mean, I've done loads of coach training, obviously, but one of the things I'd love to ask you about, having so much of that background and that thing that you just said, like letting yourself feel the emotions and being okay with the fact that you just are an emotional being. So has that been helpful? Like just being able to be like, oh, right, it's not necessarily just my thinking. Whereas for Tim, it is. Like Tim can recondition his brain, change his neural pathway, change his stories, change his emotions. But then there's always going to be this part of you that doesn't matter what you change or heal or recondition, you're still going to feel that emotion that you have to allow yourself to feel and let it be there. So has that given you permission to maybe feel your feelings more?
Yes, so much. Like it actually makes me feel more alive.
Yeah.
Versus just being half of myself, you know, yeah. I feel that if I'm feeling any quote unquote negative feelings, I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I can always be enthusiastic, optimistic, happy, joyful. And as soon as I recognize that, you know, it's okay to feel anger. It's okay to feel sadness. It's okay to feel defeated in that moment and letting myself feel that completely. And then be able to bounce back up. Like, I don't know if there's a thrill in that. Because I got to a place where I wasn't able to feel very much at all.
Yep.
And I had to dig myself out of that.
Yeah. And this happens a lot. And I talk about this quite a bit because I had the same, not only shut off emotional feeling, but I shut off physical feeling. So when I broke my arm as a kid, I didn't feel it. You know, I literally could shut everything off because I was so afraid of feeling. But what I love that you said, it's like a thrill. I think this is the other thing to understand when you have a defined solar plexus, when you're in relationship, is that you can often be so aware of your big emotions that you just try and repress them and or behave the way that you need to behave. But I love what you said, like, that's only half of you. You only felt like half yourself. And there is a thrill. Like you've come to this planet to be emotionally intelligent. You've come to really understand feeling and being able to be all of you, all the feeling you as well within relationship is a real gift. I love that.
And there's something very healing about it.
Yeah.
I've noticed that on my work, you know, like healing my traumas and stuff, unless you go there and unless you feel those feelings, they won't heal. They'll just stay suppressed. You know, yeah. They need to be felt to be able to be released.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Tim, I'm curious, since Helen has been aware of her emotions and feeling her emotions, and I know this is probably something that's been happening over time, but do you feel like how does it feel in relationship with Helen? Like have her emotions, I don't know, I don't want to use the word got better, but do you feel like there's less volatile emotion in the relationship now she's honoring it? Like what specifically got better since she's honored her emotional wave?
I'm interested to know that too.
So in the past, she wouldn't really feel too much. Like I, you know, she'd be very quiet, and then all of a sudden there'd be like an outburst of something, and I'm like, oh, that had to be some type of resentment that was built up for her to explode at that point. And so I think now, I don't take it as personally because I kind of get an idea that like she's starting to feel the emotions. Whereas before it was sort of like this pent up energy, and then it almost felt like a revenge kind of like outburst where I would do something and then all of a sudden like there's this like outburst where it's more than a normal person would react under the circumstances. And so I think I appreciate, you know, I think her ability to be able to feel that, I think has like I see the anger or the outburst more, but I don't think I take it as personal anymore. Sometimes I kind of get struck back, but then I don't think
you know why.
I don't think my first reaction is human design, but I think my first reaction is like, okay, like you're in that mode, you know what I mean?
Because
like,
before you were asking, oh, where did that come from? At least now you know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love what you said, like you don't take it personally. Like this is the thing with the emotional wave. It's mechanical. Like, yes, it can be amplified or reduced, but absolutely mechanical. So that not taking it personally is really cool. And I love what you said about, you know, reacting or overreacting more than a normal person. By the way, there's no such thing as normal. I'm just going to throw that in there. And as a 4037 wave over here, I hear you, sister. I get you. It's our wave, people. It's our wave. I love that. So what I want to talk about, what would be interesting to talk about is having two generators in a relationship. One of the things we've sort of uncovered between panels and other conversations we've had recently is that sometimes, especially for manifesting generators, but all generator types, sometimes having kids and being at home with kids can be a little bit challenging because there's drive in the generator to work, like they want to work. I would just love to hear a little bit about how, like, you guys, from my point of view, like, you've kind of nailed it. And I get that no one's perfect, and I get that no one's the perfect business owner or no one's the perfect parent. But you've done a really good job of, like, you've built a business together. You co-parent, from my understanding. Like, did you guys both feel the need, especially when your kids were young, to keep working? Did you honor that, or did you feel the pressure for one of you to be with them all the time? Do you just want to talk about that balance between parenting and working, especially when the kids were young?
Yeah. So before I had kids, I mean, I always knew that I wanted to have kids. But what I found after I had kids was that I do not feel satisfied just being a stay-at-home mom. I mean, I had my own business by the time I had them, but I was pushing more of the responsibilities to Tim so I can look after the kids more. And I just felt like I lost a piece of myself. I was really struggling through that. And I felt like I had lost my identity somewhat, being so immersed in just motherhood. So I had to really find myself again. And I feel really good having my own projects and working on the business and really doing stuff outside of just looking after my kids.
Yeah.
And I really need that balance.
Yeah, I love that. It's so powerful, and it's something that I'm just hearing over and over and over again from all generators and manifesting generator parents. A thing that I love that's just dawned on me in this moment is, like, when we shift from being, let's just use Helen as the example, from a business owner or a woman to a parent and to a mother, we do change our identity. And from a behavioral point of view, we always talk about, wow, we don't want to be too attached to our identity because if something's taken away, then we have this, you know, breakdown. But what it's just dawned on me is, like, this isn't an identity that we can take away or not be too attached to. Having that defined sacral means that this is your being. It's not your doing. It's not even your identity. It's your being is here to do the work. And I just think it's really powerful that it's important to hear generator types talk to it. Like, yeah, I just feel like I lost a bit, because I had exactly the same experience, that I just lost a piece of myself not working, and making sure that that's okay, you know, that there is no shame in wanting to work and be a parent, but it's okay to either co-parent or find other ways so you can do both.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, babe? How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, so we had that transition where she would kind of push me forward. And, you know, and to me, I'm just like, I think from kind of like a masculine energy, you know, you provide and you protect. And so it's like, okay, I'll step up and we'll knock it out of the park. I would think it wasn't until we reached kind of a level of, comfort. I don't know. At least for us, it's kind of like a level of comfort financially where I could take a step back. And then I realized, like, oh, wow, I get bored, or I had an uneasiness, but I think it was good for me in that respect. But during that transition, the biggest growth that I feel like was, and I think you helped us work through this, was not putting pressure on ourselves or each other. And I think for her, you know, I never really kind of said, hey, with your painting now, I think in the beginning I did a little bit of pressure, but then I think over time we're like, let's just kind of see where this goes. And I think for her, it was kind of the same thing where she allowed me that room for exploration to be able to, like, hey, what's the next thing? And so not putting pressure on ourselves is was kind of a huge thing in that respect.
Yeah, because I think just to give context to that, we reached a point where the stuff we were doing every day, it wasn't lighting up our staples. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we weren't getting energy from it. So we just felt tired every day. We just felt like we were dragging our feet. And we went on this exploration to actually find out what lights us up again.
Yeah. So we both need to do something. For yeah. sure. It's just a matter of, is it in alignment?
And it was the fear of trying something and having it not work out that put us in paralysis versus us actually going out and trying different things. Like that actually lit us up more, mm-hmm. even though that might not be, the final thing that we stick with or, mm-hmm. For the long term.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that, like within the relationship, you guys understanding that just giving yourself that space and what you're looking for is to feel lit up. Again, this is breaking down old conditioning, old paradigms of, just push and force and provide for the family and do the right thing and all of those things that don't actually work. I think that's really powerful. One question I'm curious about as well is, when we talk about conditioning, we always look to our parents, right? Like what did our parents teach us through the actions that they took? Are there examples or are there things that you can share with us specific to understanding your human design that really helped you to let go of ancestral conditioning or the way you thought you should be and transition into a more aligned life?
I don't know, so much. Even just going back to what I said about me pushing him to the forefront of the business.
Yeah.
I saw my mom do the same thing to my dad. Like they also have their own business together and she always pushed him to the forefront. And, she's always told me that, like the man should be the head of the family. He should, be the person who decides, what is and what's not. And so I've always left a lot of stuff to him, even stuff like managing the finances, and that's something that I recognize that I actually need to know what's going on. Like I need to take that back and know that I can manage it for myself. And that has been super powerful.
Yeah.
And just taking responsibility. So not everything's on him.
Yeah.
And I actually like to know, and have control over things, I find. So
yeah, I love that. Tim, do you want to add to that?
I mean, I think for me, it was kind of taking a step back and being okay with taking a step back.
Yeah.
I think the whole provider and protecting was a huge kind of growth moment of being okay with not doing something, even though we're all kind of doing something anyways, but it's just, like not producing, I think was a huge growth part. And so what that meant, especially in Asian culture, is that you as a man in the Asian culture, if you didn't have a house, if you didn't have a car, you can't marry somebody, right?
Or
the women's family on the woman's side, they would look more down on you you couldn't provide and kind of give the life to their daughter. And so like there was a lot of ancestral stuff like that. In addition to that, it's just this whole notion of being lazy. And so I would shame myself for being lazy because I didn't do something when in reality it wasn't in alignment. And so I was trying to figure out like, what's this big thing in my mind? I kept thinking, what's the next big project? What's the next thing that can build this empire? And then I really had to shift that to what's the next step? And I think that was a huge aha moment there.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's so powerful because again, it goes from the mind. The mind has, attached to what something has to look like and down back into the body, to the sacral, like, yep, okay, this lights me up. That means I have to go in this direction. I love that. Yep. The other thing I want to talk a little bit to, and I love that you also refer to the lazy word, because both of you have undefined root centers. So often generator types with undefined root centers will at some point say, oh, I thought I was lazy. And it's like, you just don't have that constant internal motivation going on. But I want to talk about that Helen is the MG. She does have the defined throat. She is sort of here to take up a bit more space, and that dynamic. I mean, what I think I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is it's almost like, Tim, you've sort of seen that along the path, but Helen, because of conditioning, hasn't necessarily allowed herself to step into it. I know with our work that we've done together, we've really talked about almost doing the thing that Helen's been trying to do to Tim, but flip it, you know, like, come on, Helen, like, I've got you. It's all okay. Really starting to step into that MG power. So how's that journey been for you? Tim, do you want to take it first?
Yeah, we've been kind of in transition to a house, but I think for her, just kind of noticing that she's, I always ask her, I was like, do you really secretly want the attention? And, you know, not to put her on the spot, but, she, you know, every now and then she'd be like, yeah, I do. And I think I kind of remind her to say, like, it's okay. Like you don't need to shame yourself for thinking something like that. Because, I mean, in actuality, it's actually kind of like a positive to be able to be out there, because then you can, you fulfill your mission in whatever it is that you're doing. And I think she kind of found that in various therapies that we'll go down as a therapies that we've been kind of working and tossing up. So I think knowing human design, I think she's finally starting to realize that it's okay to be in the forefront. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it's what we talked about in my session about trusting my voice.
Yeah.
How I haven't trusted my voice in such a long time or ever. I don't know. But it does feel good to be seen for my work and, you know, the things that I do. So even though it's uncomfortable, I'm trusting my voice, whether it's talking or I started taking singing lessons, which have been feeling amazing.
Wow. Oh my God. I've always wanted to do that. Far out.
Just to be able to use my voice physically, that will transform into, you know, trusting it energetically too. Mm-hmm. Just trusting for the reason that I'm here existing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And I love even that, Tim, that you've sort of said, like, you know, do you like the attention? And like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I do, but I don't want to admit it. Like, this is really big for MGs. You know, I work with so many female MGs that have exactly the same issue. And there is a part of them that really wants to be seen. And, you know, both of you have a line too. So there's always going to be part of you that wants to hide away as well. So it's just so important just to continue to get outside that comfort zone, because when you get out and you get seen, you're going to have the impact that your soul came here to have. And being able to be in a relationship where you're supported to be that, you know, aligned version of you is really powerful.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And Tim having the 4 in his profile, you know, we've started to recognize that maybe he hasn't had enough opportunity to go out and network and where he really thrives, you know, but in the past couple of years with COVID and with, you know, just young kids, we haven't really made that room for him. Mm-hmm. So, and he's had that guilt about leaving the family and going out to networking events. And, you know, we just recognize that, you know, it's for your well-being. It's, you know, he loves doing that. So.
I love what you just said as well. Like, you know, the guilt, again, like when we understand our human design, you know, individually and within relationship, we can actually heal these guilt, shame, all of these things that have been really keeping us stuck so much faster, because we can literally see and then ultimately feel the truth within us. So I love that. And, you know, that's the other thing, that Tim's energies are going to become even more aligned and even more impactful with the right people and being within the right groups and that sort of thing. So I love that. I just want to say a huge thank you. You two are rock stars. I feel like you are definitely in this team of yours together, and I love how you hold space for each other and you really want to learn and support. So it's freaking awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with or relationship with all of us.
Thanks, Emma. No, we appreciate you, because you're the one that really kind of helped us kind of figure out us individually and then together. And I think it has been a huge part. And I think I would say that there was a lot of parabolic communication that has improved because of you. So
yeah, and made human design so much easier to understand and make sense of.
For sure.
Yay. That is my mission. And thank you so much for saying that, because that's why I'm absolutely on the planet. I'm so grateful. I think you two are a freaking powerhouse. That's why you guys keep turning up on a podcast. I'm sure you'll be on another panel soon or whatever it is. So thank you so much, because I really think you guys are such a great example of, you know, doing the experiment. You don't have to be perfect, but just run the freaking experiment and you can get great results. So thank you so much for joining you too.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for being here for this episode. Stay tuned. We do have some more couples coming up. Other than that, I will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.